Amen. Today's message, we continue on from last week. Last week, we were in Acts chapter 1, and we're talking about the beginning of the church as we see in the book of Acts. And last week, we focused on Jesus as he was with his disciples and was seen by many of them for 40 days after his resurrection. And now he is gone. And he has ascended to the Father. So we're going to jump over to chapter 2 today, and we're going to look at the empowered church. The title today is The Empowered Church. Empowered Church. You know, a church cannot be empowered unless it has the Holy Spirit. Oops, I guess that was a spoiler alert. Now I can really do the benediction. But anyway, the church cannot be the church unless the Holy Spirit is in it. That's where we derive our power. That's where we get, that's our main focus, is utilizing the gifts of the Holy Spirit to benefit one another, to worship together, to praise together, to serve together, to learn together. So all this is empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now we're looking at the formation of the early church, of the church. And as we look at Acts chapter 2, I just want you to pray along with me right now as we prepare for this message, The Empowered Church. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. I thank you, Lord, for blessing us. Oh, once again, Father, I just thank you for this message, Father. And I just pray that as we just share your word, Father, about your formation of the early church, Lord, we can gain a greater appreciation of what true empowerment is that only comes through the Holy Spirit. We thank and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So chapter 1, you know, the ascension of Jesus to be with the Father, and the disciples gathered back together in Jerusalem. They went back to Jerusalem and they returned to the upper room where they continued in one accord and prayer and supplication, as chapter 1 verse 14 tells us. That was what they were doing in the upper room. So it's been a little over 40 days at this time, and it's the arrival of the day of Pentecost. Amen. So also, as we look at chapter 1, it concluded with them choosing another disciple, apostle, to replace Judas. But it also shares that there were 120 disciples together, and Peter led them in prayer. Now, he led 120 in prayer in chapter 1, but after the coming of the Holy Spirit, he led a whole lot more in prayer and led a whole lot more to the Lord. So as we look at Acts chapter 2, verse 1 says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place. The day of Pentecost, let's look at that. We can understand the significance of the day of Pentecost. And also by sharing the time period, Pentecost, we have an ideal of the time period between the resurrection of Jesus Christ and now the day of Pentecost, because Pentecost was one of three major Jewish feasts, which was called the Feast of Weeks, which you can find in Exodus chapter 34 and also Deuteronomy chapter 16. And the name comes from the Greek word meaning 50. So see, the Pentecost comes 50 days after the Passover, and it celebrates the end of the grain harvest. So see, it was a day of Pentecost, and people, devout Jews from all over the surrounding area, their world at that time, had come to Jerusalem to celebrate the week of the Pentecost. Now, and it's telling us, now when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place. And it's interesting because they came to worship. They did not come, you know, seeking power. They did not come seeking to be seen, but they came in celebration of God. So they were united individuals at this time. And what this helps me understand that when brothers dwell together in unity, the Lord can work through them. So we're going to see this whole scenario be set up of the coming of the Holy Spirit. So the day of Pentecost had fully come. They were all with one accord in one place. And in verse 2, it says, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting." Now, it's interesting. Here are the disciples, and it's not just the apostles, but it's other disciples. And as we go back to Acts chapter 1, verse 14, it tells us that 120 were present when Peter was praying. So we don't really know how many are there now, but it should be around that number. So they were in the house. Now, it's interesting. They were not in the temple worshiping, but they were in a dwelling at this moment. And then a sound from heaven came as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. So here they are praying, here they are calling on the Lord, here they are meditating, here they are just focused on what had transpired with Jesus Christ and the teaching of Jesus Christ. They're here in the house meditating, and this wind, a sound came from heaven, a sound, and they could only describe it like a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house. Now, I don't know if you've ever have experienced a terrible storm outside that has been predicted, but when the wind starts blowing and you know, the wind comes and it just seems like it fills your whole house. And I got to imagine if that happens in nature, just how much more powerful was this mighty sound from God in the house. And in verse 3, it says, "And then they appeared unto them divided." If you read in King James, it says cloven tongues, divided tongues. It means the same thing. "There appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them." So not only did the sound come as a wind, but they got the visual appearance of the Holy Spirit and the sign of the divided tongues that came as of fire. They had heard the sound. Now they see the tongues. Now what, when you really look at this cloven tongue and divided tongues, what it means is it's divided. It's multiple fires. It's multiple illustrations. It's multiple manifestations of the Holy Spirit that set upon each and every one of them. So see, and also, check this out. This was not something that happened to just a few of them, but just happened to each of them who were in the house. See, so mind you, and again, going back to and read it sometimes, Acts chapter 1, verse 14, it tells us that what were they there for? They were there for prayer and supplication. So during this prayer meeting, the Holy Spirit broke out and did its job. Now, I want to share something else that when I was really reading and studying this, that the Lord just revealed to me, that this tells me that if you want God to speak and work through you, we need to be in the proper position and attitude to receive his blessings. Amen? Because see, they were not there joking around. They were not there partying. They were not there in that house just to have a great meal, but they were there to worship. They were there to pray. And that's the position that they were in when the Lord showed up through the Holy Spirit. So guess what? What can the Lord do for us when we are in a position to receive him, to hear his voice, to hear his instructions? What position do we need to be in to really focus on the Lord? You know, we have our prayer closets. Some might be real closets. Some might be virtual closets. But we have that place that we go where we really want to be away from it all and really want to focus on the Lord, really want to focus on on our relationship with them, on our prayer life with them, praying just, Lord, just show me the way. And it is not until, quite often, it's not until we put ourselves in that position that the Lord can reveal to us and make it plain to us what we must do. So that's what happened. So all these fires came upon each and every one of them. In verse 4, it says, and they were all filled with what? They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Might say Holy Ghost in your translation. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. It means the same thing. And began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They had heard the sound. They had seen the tongues of fire descend upon each one. And now they are filled with the Holy Ghost. And they're speaking with other tongues. And this, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, we will explain what this other tongues is in a few minutes, because it's self-explanatory when we look on to further verses that we will be exploring on today. But by being filled with the Holy Spirit, they were controlled and possessed by the power of God. Now, Jesus told them that they would speak in tongues while he was still with the disciples. We look at Mark chapter 16, verse 17, Mark 16, verse 17, and it says, and these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons and they will speak with new tongues. Now, we do know, as we fast forward through Acts, we see them casting out demons. We see the disciples empowered to do that. We see Peter, we see Paul, we see others who are empowered to cast out demons, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the thing, the notice about this. Now, notice that this was not a gradual process. This was not something that happened over time, the visitation of the Holy Spirit, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. It did not take them time to develop their awareness of the Holy Spirit. And there is nothing that they did physically to contribute the Holy Spirit coming to them other than being in the position to receive the Holy Spirit. And the arrival of the Holy Spirit was part of God's promise to them. So here's what happened. So now they heard the sound. They've seen the manifestation of the Holy Spirit through the fires that set upon each of them in that house, in that room, in that location. And now they are empowered by the Holy Spirit. They are filled with the Holy Spirit. And in verse 5 of Acts chapter 2, and there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. So remember this again. This happens during the Pentecost season, the Pentecost week, and there are travelers who have come from all around to celebrate and worship Pentecost in Jerusalem. So that's when it's saying that dwelling in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under the heaven. And in verse 6, it says, and when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and they were confused because everyone heard them speak in their own language. So let me paint a picture for you. Here are the disciples and here are the apostles. These are the ones who are in the upper room. These are the ones who are in a house right now. These are the ones who are in prayerful positions. These are the ones who are visited by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. But you know what? They were not alone in Jerusalem. And others witnessed this. Others saw what was going on. And verse 6, and when the sound occurred, the multitude came together. Who is the multitude? It's all the other people who had come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Weeks or the Pentecost. It was all of them who had come together. They heard something was going on and they came together to observe, and they were confused. Why were they confused? Because they heard them speaking in his own language. Now here's what's going on. Now these people have come from great geographical locations surrounding Jerusalem, and each of them had their own language, each of them had their own accent, each of them had their own way of talking, but somehow all of this, the multitude of people could understand what was coming out of the mouths of the apostles, of the disciples, as if it was their own language. You know, there are some things that God can do to us that will confuse others. They don't understand how we can act this way. They don't understand why our life is the way it is. They don't understand why we celebrate the way we do. They don't understand, and it confuses people. And sometimes we can be talking to people about God, and people who don't know God, who don't know the Christ that we serve, they know the words that we are sharing. They know the vocabulary. They can understand us, but they cannot understand the concept of what we're talking about because they have not received the Holy Spirit. They have not committed themselves to God. They have not committed themselves to God through Jesus Christ. So this happens even to today, that we will confuse people by the way we act, by the way we operate. We will confuse people who are watching us by the way we serve, by the way we give, by the way we devote ourselves to others, by the way we help others, by the way we feed the hungry, by the way we clothe the naked. We will confuse others because we speak a language that they don't understand. Amen. They don't understand. So again, the sound occurred, the multitude came together, all these other folks who were in Jerusalem to celebrate the Pentecost, they came together, and they were confused because they heard them speak in their own tongue. And in verse 7, it really reveals why they felt that way. We look at verse 7. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galatians?" These are people who are from the Galilee area. These, you know, Jesus's disciples, Jesus's apostles, the ones who followed Jesus, a lot of them came from the area surrounding the Sea of Galilee. And now the Sea of Galilee is a northern area further north from Jerusalem. And just like today, people in the south and people in the north, we talk with different accents. I don't know about you, but I've been to some places, not too far from here, 700 miles away from here, and I don't really understand the dialect they're talking with. I don't understand the verses, the phrasing that they are using. I don't understand. Sometimes it sounds like Pig Latin to me. I don't understand some people. I can go to the West, and I can find places where people are talking the English language, but it's different than the way we talk the English language. They're using colloquialisms, and they're using other illustrations that we just don't have the ability to understand. Have you ever been there, my brother and sister, where you've been, somebody has come to visit you, some distant cousin from far away, and it's like, what in the world are you saying? You know what? But they're saying the same thing about us. When we go someplace else, they're saying the same thing about us. Guess what? But it's all the same language. So taking it back to scripture. So they were all amazed because these were Galileans, and they spoke a distinct language in this area. And all these folks are wondering, how in the world can I understand what they are saying when their accent is so thick that you normally cannot understand somebody speaking the way they speak? That's what it says in verse 8. And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? All this is happening to people from different cultures. And I'm so glad Luke gave us a little bit more context by sharing with us a list of people who were there at Pentecost, a list of people who were witnessing this. I'm so glad that Luke took the time to list in verse 9. As we look at verse 9 of Acts chapter 2, Parthians and people from Medes and Elamites and those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judah, and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and parts of Libya adjoining Crete, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes. So you know, and at verse 11, Cretans, those from Crete and Arabs. So it tells us these are the folks who had gathered together to worship in the Pentecost. And if you look at a map of the area, if I had more time, I would break it down further for you. But if you look at the map of the area surrounding Jerusalem, all of these other people came from places surrounding Jerusalem. Some came from northern Africa. Some came from the Rome area. Some came from Asia Minor. Some came from Mesopotamia. Some came from other places to the east, to the west, to the north, and the south of Jerusalem. They had all come, and normally they needed an interpreter, just like you see when you see the videos from the United Nations, all these people coming together who speak their own language. They have their own private interpreter so they can understand what's going on. But somehow in verse 11, they say, we hear them speaking in our own language the wonderful works of God. We hear them speaking without an interpreter. We hear them speaking, Lord, how could this happen? And it's not just one or two different areas represented, but a lot of areas are represented, and yet they all understood in their own language. Now, I take us back to the Old Testament right now, just to drop a little knowledge on us. Remember the Tower of Babel. Now, why did the Tower of Babel? It was destroyed because people got too full of themselves and they tried to build an altar up to God. And they were united in one language at that time. But because of that, God spread them out, destroyed the Tower of Babel, gave them different languages. Now, what do we see here? We see God bringing people back together, not for the people's glory, but for his glory. So they're together now. They are able to understand without an interpreter in their own language. And it says the wonderful works of God in chapter 2:11. And in verse 12, it tells us their response. They were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what could this mean? What could this mean? I gotta imagine that they looked for the philosopher and said, what does this mean? They looked at the scientists and they said, what could this mean? They looked at the medical doctor and said, what could this mean? They exhausted their resources to try to answer in our own terminology, in our own understanding, what could this mean? But there are some things that are too perplexing. There are some things that are too amazing for us to understand in our own way. And all we can say, but God. You know, there are times in our life when the miraculous happens that we just cannot understand it, that we just are perplexed and we try to figure it out. But there are times when we just need to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you for working it out. Thank you, Father. There are times in our lives that are indescribable by words coming out of our mouth. For each and every one of us is a living witness, the power of God in us. So they were going back to verse 12. So they were all amazed and perplexed. And they were saying to one another, what could this mean? And in verse 13, here was the response. Some were amazed, but others were mocking. They said they are full of new wine. They are full of new wine. Now, I don't know about y'all, I know that we are all holy, and some of us might not remember our days back when. But you know, you always had that person who indulged a little bit too much. And once they did, something came out of their mouth that you could not understand. You did not know what was going on. And it sounded like some babbling, but somehow you could kind of understand that if you were under the influence with them, amen, you could understand some of those things. But they were mocking. They are full of new wine. When people cannot explain what is happening to you, they will try and label you a certain way. And they were labeling these folks as drunkards, out here prancing around, babbling, out here doing this. But how they could not explain how they can understand it in their own language. But the reason that each one of them could hear is because God had empowered the disciples. God had empowered the apostles with the Holy Spirit. He had given them the weapon of choice of how to pull down the strongholds in their life, how to work together, how to worship together. I want to take us to Paul's words in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, when he says, "For the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." What this tells me that our weapons are not things that people can understand easily, why we do what we do, how we do it, the way we do it, because these are not things that can be understand in the mind, but they can be understand by the Spirit. So as we look at this, let us remember that this is when the saints were empowered with the Holy Spirit that was promised by Jesus Christ that would come to them when he told them in John 14 that I will not leave you comfortless, that the Holy Spirit will come unto you after I am gone and will bring back to your remembrance everything that I have told you. So we must remember, my brothers and sisters, that we can read the Bible. We can read it like a novel, but it's not until we receive the Holy Spirit that we begin to understand the Bible, that we can appreciate what God has done for us in our lives, that God has done a whole brand new thing with us, has taken us. As you look at the apostles, they came from different backgrounds. They came from different occupations, but yet God brought them together. What tells me that God can still bring people together, whether you are a fisherman, somebody who is considered not too intelligent. And that's what they thought about the people who came from Galilee in the first place. Y'all are not too intelligent. Whether you were a tax collector, which was despised by a multitude of people at that time, you know, God can still use you. God is still calling men and women today. And men and women some will be amazed by the power of God, but some will mock the power of God when they see it happening right there before them, my brothers and sisters. So Jesus came as God's son to save them. And when he left, all was not lost, because the Holy Spirit would take over and lead us as he is leading us today. We know the phrase, I'm being guided by the Spirit. I'm going to do what the Spirit tells me to do. I'm going to wait on the Spirit. What we are really saying is we're going to wait on God to show up in our lives. There are some situations that we cannot take care of ourselves. We just need to be open and obedient and wait on the Spirit of God to come to us. So as we look at this passage, as we look at what has gone on this day of Pentecost, we know it's 50 days after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We know that the disciples are still together, as Jesus told them to stay together until I return. And we see what has happened in this passage, that they were empowered. You know, the church is not empowered by the influence of its members. The church is not empowered by the vast amount in their bank account, the church bank account. The church is not empowered by the beauty of the building. You know, all those are good, but the real power of the church comes through the Holy Spirit in us. And guess what? As we continue in Acts, we will see that just this is just the beginning. Once the Holy Spirit came, we see ordinary men and women do great things through the power of God. And this helps me to understand that we today can do great things through the power of God. Why? Because we have been empowered by the Holy Spirit. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Empowered by the Spirit.